I live in Los Angeles now, and I met a woman named Esther Gosby the other day, who reminded me a little of myself. She learned to drive when she was 16, too. She's 86 now and tiny, 4'7", with blue eyes and a longish face. Esther stopped driving 6 months ago. Her eyesight is not what it used to be. And she's gotten some odd responses to her decision.
I talked to some people and they'd say, yes, you did the right thing. And other people would say, everybody has accidents, so just get in the car and drive.
Everybody has accidents, so just get in the car and drive. This might as well be the bumper sticker on the back of our country. We just don't want to face it. We are all going to have to stop driving someday. And when we do, it's probably going to make our lives worse.
I go for a walk every day for 25 minutes. And there are times when the only time I really leave the house is for the walk or to empty the trash. And it gets very, very lonely. And it's just kind of hard.
Driving by itself cannot make you less lonely, but it can take you to a museum, or a library, or a volunteer job, or a restaurant. All the places Esther used to go that she doesn't go to anymore. Esther and her husband worked hard and invested carefully to be able to live in this pretty condominium complex with a tennis court and a pool, up a street that dead ends so it stays quiet and doesn't get a lot of traffic. But it's not on a bus route. You can't walk anywhere from it. Esther tried taxis but gave up on them after one left her stranded following an appointment. She won't take the city's special van service for the elderly anymore either because it came late the one time she used it.
I'm sure that other people learn to take it and they learn to get home all right. It's just that I have become very fearful about a number of things. So I'm inclined to take the line of least resistance, which is not to do anything.
Not being able to drive isn't her biggest problem. It's just one more loss among many. But it isolates her, and that's compounding everything.
My husband died 2 years ago in July. Since then, I have retrenched to such a degree, and I realize it myself, and I know I'm depressed, I know that. And I feel like it's a result of this depression that there's really nothing I want to do. It's like I can't even take a book and go outside and sit at the pool. And it's almost to the point where I don't feel comfortable talking to people that I don't know anymore, where I used to do it all the time. And it's not at all like me because I have never been that way. But I have changed a great deal.
Perhaps the most significant change in Esther is how hard it's become for her to ask for help just when she needs it most. When you can't drive, every favor you ask for automatically becomes two favors. Can you do this for me? And also, can you pick me up and drop me back home? Esther has become reluctant to call on friends for anything except necessities, occasional trips to doctor's appointments, help figuring out bills or papers she doesn't understand. She won't ask them anymore to go to the movies or to dinner.
I know that I should pursue this business of friendship more aggressively. I know I should. And somehow I just can't do it. I feel like yesterday I kind of felt like I was having a tummy ache. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? There's nobody that's going to take care of me. There's nobody that's going to look after me. I don't know how you feel about it. You're too young to really be concerned with it, but I'm not too young to be concerned with it.
It is different for me because I'm younger, but I've been worrying about who I could turn to take care of me my whole life. Getting in a car at 16 was a way to say, screw it, I'll take care of myself. But you can't live that way forever. Esther, early on in our conversation, talked about how she couldn't understand people her age who just refused to give up driving, even when it's dangerous. She said it reminded her of those LA car chases, made famous by O.J. Simpson, where some guy is driving down the freeway with 15 cops tailing him and TV news helicopters broadcasting his flight all over the country, and he just can't make himself stop the car. He knows that once he stops driving, his life is going to fall apart. And he's right. I'm Nancy Updike for The Savvy Traveler.